the blessing of the Lord. Psalm 65:11. Let me pray first. Gracious God, precious Jesus, supreme benefactor, may we, Lord God, this day just cling to you. May we, Lord, as we will be hungry later and enjoy a physical meal, Lord, even now stimulate a great hunger in our soulish realm. And let us, Lord, incline our ears to hear from you. Praise you for your goodness this day. Amen. Psalm 65:11, the lead verse here. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. Powerful statement here about the enrichment, about the blessings of the Lord. In the original language, the word for crown here means to encircle. Consider this, you crown the year with your bounty. If we think in terms of an agricultural calendar year, there's a time for sowing, waiting, and then there's a time for reaping and a harvest. And we would say, well, at that point, the bounty has come, the abundance has come. But from God's perspective, who does not dwell in time, he has encircled the year, what's a calendar year to us. He's encircled 2014 with his bounty. And this is just vivid illustration here in Psalm 65:11. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. Now consider from this, wherever God has been, he leaves behind a trail of blessings. How many of you know that there's no new thing with God? God doesn't have to wait to get to January the 13th, 2014 to see what's going to happen. He's already been there. He's already crossed the line of Christmas 2014. He's covered us past, present, and future. So he's already, if you will, he's already gone down the path of this year. And wherever God has been, there's this trail of blessings. Your wagon tracks overflow. The word overflow in the original language means dripping. It's just like, man, the goodness of God is all over. It recollects a time when there was such great harvest, let's say a wheat harvest or a barley harvest, and they had so much that they didn't have to take great care to make sure it was all within the wagon. There was just so much that if it sprinkled out on the journey to his destination, it just didn't matter. Scarcity wasn't an issue. See, this is what God has to offer. Think back with Elijah when he came into the desperate situation of famine, and he comes to a widow. You got famine, and the widow's destiny is today I and my son are going to eat our last meal and die. Hopelessness, despondency. But Elijah comes into that situation. Gather your vessels and go out and get some oil. And it just keeps, the oil just keeps on coming. There's an overflow of new life. And this is what God has to offer for you and for myself. Wherever he's been, there's a trail of blessings. And followers of Jesus, true followers, true disciples, great song today, I've decided to follow Jesus. True followers who have made that their decision, that come what may, whatever the world might throw my way, whatever my own heart might do to supplant that, come what may, a righteous man falls 7 times a day, picks himself back up. For those that have this resolve of following Jesus, 2014 is a year of blessing. Can I get an amen? A year of blessing. God wants to bless his people. Now, God's blessings are much more than the merely shallow version that has my own happiness in mind. This is why sometimes we get a little reluctant when we perhaps consider the blessing. And should I be asking for a blessing? And I don't want to just go to God and pray for a blessing all the time. And we can even make fun of that, oh, bless me, God. And it has something to do with a shallow version, a minuscule understanding of what God's blessings are all about. It is not merely my happiness, my comfort, my own stability or contentment as the primary goal. Now, the psalmist who penned Psalm chapter 67, which is going to be the crux of this message, he had a comprehensive view. He understood what the blessing of the Lord really entails. It's a very short psalm. It's only seven verses. And in Psalm 67, verse number 1, we see him very bold up front in his petition to God. He says, May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Now the psalmist, he has a desire. What does he desire? There's three things that he's asking for up front. May God be gracious, one, bless us, two, and make his face shine upon us. The first one is grace. Grace means to be pitied and mercy. So God, I'm always going to need your pity because I'm a pitiful person. I'm always going to need your mercy. Thank goodness his mercies are new every morning. Keep it up, O Lord. Let your mercies flow. Now, mercy is not getting what we do deserve. In other words, cover us, O God, from our own mistakes and our errors. Let your mercy, your grace be continual. Then the second thing he asked for here in Psalm 67:1 is bless us. Now, the root word for bless is barak, and it simply means benefit. God is our benefactor. He benefits. You know, when you go into a job situation, the salary is one thing and the benefit package is another. It's like the salvation is the salary. It's already been paid for. It's there. And then there's this whole benefit package as well as God continues to bless. Well, God, be gracious to us. Bless us. Benefit us. And then thirdly there in Psalm 67:1, it says, and make his face to shine upon us. Let your enlightenment be upon us. Wherever your face is, there's the favor, there's enlightenment, there's revelation. And so I appreciate the psalmist that he's bold in asking. He's not reluctant to open up his heart and say, let it be. God be gracious to us. And we can pray in like manner without being ashamed. We can say, Lord, be gracious to me. Bless me. Make your face to shine upon me continually. Look upon me with enlightenment. Enlighten me and give me your favor. And there's no shame in asking for that. It's a good thing. As fathers and parents, we can pray this over our family. Be gracious to my household. Bless my household. May your face shine upon my household. Those that have church leadership responsibilities, we can pray over our ministries, over our teams. We pray over the church. May God be gracious to us. Bless us. Make your face to shine upon us. Praying for the service like Leanne did for so many, even by name, that God would be gracious, that he'd be merciful, he would be blessing us, and he'd be looking upon this service right now, wherever two or more are gathered, that he's looking with great interest because you are his great interest. And he's looking to bring light in a dark realm. The same God who said, let there be light when there was darkness, is the same one that shows us the glory of the knowledge of the goodness of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He's the same one that's looking even now. We pray that. Now this is what he desires. But now the next part of the psalm, which is the last six verses, is the why. Why should we pray for such blessing? The shallow version just says it's all about me being happy, and as long as I'm happy, then I'm a blessed person. But there's much more. Our prayer must have a wider sweep than merely ourselves. It's not wrong to ask to be blessed, and may my household be blessed, but it's not merely so that we can be recipients of the benefits. Look at verse number 2 of Psalm 67 here, about midway in your notes. He goes on to say that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Now, what we see here is these blessings are first and foremost for God's glory, that God might be exalted. God's interested in people. God's interested in the nations, in the pagans. And he desires, verse number 3, let the peoples praise you. Let all these people groups, all of these pagan ethnicities that the Israelites tended to look down upon, that they considered were just above animals. You know, if the blessings of God is not just so that I can feel good and be happy, but so that, God, you can be glorified, so that you can be exalted in the earth. And the Lord's looking for such a people that have this kingdom vantage point, that it's not about my little self, my little household, my comfortable life, and how can I hedge it and make everything safe. He's looking for people that are kingdom people, that are seeking first the kingdom. And when those that seek first the kingdom, that are seeking God's glory, that say, bless me so that you can be exalted. Bless me so you can be high and lifted up and people will praise you. This is the true purpose for a people that would be blessed. And so ask for the blessing. And then verse 2, that your way might be known. Verse 3, that peoples will praise you, O God. Let all the nations praise you. Now let's consider verse 4. Not only are the blessings about God first and foremost, I ask for blessings so that God ultimately can be blessed, but also for the sake of other people. Verse 4, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity, and you guide the nations upon the earth. Selah. Now, God has this view and this desire. He has this passion for souls. He looks upon the earth, and he's continually grieved by the wicked. Just as in the days of Noah, there was such a grief in the Lord, and he had allowed centuries upon centuries to go by before his judgment came. And it grieves the Lord. God does not rejoice in the death of the wicked. God does not just count people out as a small matter. God is interested in all the peoples of the earth. He's interested in every little soul. I mean, look at those three brand new souls that just came into the world recently. God intricately knitted them in their mother's womb. There's such a uniqueness out of the billions. They were fearfully and wonderfully formed inside of their mother. God took great interest and he fashioned that eternal soul in his own image. And just as right now the parents and the grandparents are excited and passionate and want to cover that little one and want to seek the well-being of that little one, times that by a million for how God cares about every soul from every ethnicity, every people group. And so when we pray for blessings, God, you be glorified and help me to be a living epistle of your goodness. May I be blessed so that I can be a blessing. Not me be blessed so I can accumulate and I can have my security in my own situation or what I preserve for myself. But Lord, bless me so that I can be a blessing. You be exalted. Let others be blessed. Let others come and praise you. Look at verse 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. This is what God's interested in. Now, God doesn't need praise because God doesn't need anything. But he does desire the praise of every person that he's brought into this world. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue is going to confess. There's going to come a point in the existence of every soul of an acknowledgement of God. Some of them are going to be favorable. That's this side of death. The rest that have to do it more in a forced manner, that's unfortunate. God's looking for praise on this side. As a matter of fact, we are his priesthood, his royal nation, his holy priesthood. He's called us out of darkness and into light in order to declare the praises. Somebody say praises. To declare the praises of God. God's wanting to hear the praises of his people. Just like when Jesus was rebuked because the children were saying, Hosanna, which means save us. They were acknowledging God. They were acknowledging Christ. They were offering up praise out of the mouth of babes. God was perfecting praise. Jesus said, look, if they don't praise, the rocks are going to cry out. There's a desire in the heart of God to be praised. And so, Lord, bless us that you might be blessed and that people get brought in to this family of God, into the household of faith where they can praise you. They get rescued from an eternity of the lake of fire. What a horrific thing to think about. Those that go into a godless eternity and they have to go into a holding place in the earth called hell, an isolated place, to await a judgment to be dumped into the lake of fire. What a horrific thing for people to reject God's goodness, to resist his grace all along the way. Good news, the church has been left in the world as a witness. The people of God are to be the blessed people, the people that people detect the radiance, they detect the anointing, and they can respond. It's still their choice. They can refuse as well, but they can respond and accept and not go into a godless eternity. This is the true purpose that God's people would be blessed. It's not the hijacked message of blessing, which is totally motivated by my own covetousness. There is that false message. But this is the true message, that God would be glorified, the peoples of the world would be enriched. And in doing so, now look at verse 6, there still is a benefit that comes to us. God will increase us as well. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. This speaks of the fact that God, you're glorified. The peoples now can realize. They can cry out after you and be saved. They can praise you. And we're doing pretty good ourselves. The earth, you see, with sin, the earth was cursed. Thorns and thistles shall you bring forth. By the sweat of your brow, you shall work. Work itself is not a curse, but the difficulty that now comes with it. But when you're in God, the earth opens up. Productivity, flourishing. When you're a steward of the king, when you're under him as a benefactor, he will multiply the work of your hands, just like he did Joseph, just like he did Daniel. And the blessing of God, it makes one rich. Verse 6, the earth yields. It releases its increase. It's like what was prayed earlier when Mark prayed about the tithe. When you honor God and you bless God, there's a release of provision. There's going to be a multiplication effect. The windows of heaven open up. God pours out a blessing you can't contain. He rebukes the one that brings scarcity. He rebukes the one that impoverishes, the devourer. The earth yields its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. We are blessed. And we realize this is yet evidence of that, the fact that God's going to continue to bless us. God shall bless us, verse 7. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. That's a pretty comprehensive statement of blessing, isn't it? I mean, it really takes away my shallow view, because you might be able to relate. Often I tend to think just about myself. How's this going to benefit me? How will I appear? You know, and then God is somewhere down the line and others are out there. But you turn it around and you make Jesus first, others second, yourself third. J, Jesus. O, others, yourself. Y, what does that spell, by the way? You turn that around and the joy of the Lord is your strength. All of a sudden there's energy. But when it's all about the self, it's fatiguing. It drains you. And that is my first response more often than not. And so to have the view that the psalmist has, to say, Lord, let your blessings come, you being glorified, people praising you. And of course, that wherever your wagon tracks have been, there's like, it's just dripping with abundance. Even though it's a narrow path, even though there are treacherous turns and twists, and the enemy's there to dog me, and there's resistance. Yet it's still an abundant path. And I want to be wherever you have been. I want to follow hard after you. Now, this was the good fortune of Father Abraham. If you're a Christian, you are able to call Abraham Father Abraham because you have been adopted into his family by faith. This was Abraham's good fortune. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we see with the calling of Abraham, God's system of blessing was laid forth. Now the Lord said to Abram, later to be named Abraham, go from your country and from your kindred and from your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I bless you so that you can become a blessing. Now, Abraham, when you follow his life, he honored God. He was a friend of God. He sought the interest of God to the point that when God said, I'm going to take the delight of your eyes in the form of Isaac, he was willing to sacrifice his son to keep on good terms with God. He was more interested in the acceptance and pleasure factor of God than the testimony of others or even his own self-interest. Because of this, he's God's friend, and he was participating in the systematic blessings that God has for those that come out of darkness and into light. Look at verse 1 again. It says, go from your country and from your kindred. Now, this is the path of the converted. The converted leave their country and their kindred, their father's house. We leave the family of Adam, and we go to another destination. We come to this heavenly reality. And our citizenship is transferred from the earthly domain into the heavenly domain. And so Abraham's path was prototypical of the path of a Christian. How many of you are born-again Christians? You can say in your spirit that you have gone from your country, you've gone from your kindred, you've left your father's house, and you've come to this new reality, to this destination, which is Jesus Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And with that now, the Abrahamic blessings are ours. We can lay claim to verse number 2, that there is a great nation, there is a blessing. God leaves a blessing. He blesses his people. And he makes our name great so that we can be a blessing. He doesn't make our name great so that we can be high and lifted up ourselves. He makes our name great. He makes us great. He makes us men and women of renown. That is his goal, by the way. He makes us people of renown that are blessed, like Abraham, so that we can be a blessing. You might have to go through some difficult times like Abraham did, like Joseph did, like Job did, to be a great person that influences many. But this is the destiny of all of those who are faithful to Christ, to be a blessing. Verse number 3, and I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now through Abraham, of course, this came as a result of Jesus Christ. All of the family groups, all of the ethnicities. See, I shy away from the term races because that's a fallacy. There's only one race. So the family groups, the ethnic groups of the world, all of them are enabled to be blessed because of the faith of faithful Abraham. Now, verse number 3 is also instructive for this. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever comes alongside of you recognizes the blessing of God. They can be blessed. They can partake. When you go to work and they recognize the calm about you, they recognize that you don't enter into the gossip. You don't get involved in the drama. There's a peace about you. They are enabled to be blessed by you. Many of us represent a blessing in our earthly domains. We represented a blessing. We were a blessing in our Christmas gathering. We were a blessing on the job. You're a blessing in school. And all of those who recognize that, they're able to be blessed by you. However, if there's an attack, if there's an accusation, because many refuse to receive and allow the devil, who is their puppet master, to continue to control them, then here's what happens. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. So if you are in this blessing program, I hate to say that, but I did. If you're in this blessing program that God has to offer, then you're going to be accepted by some, and they're going to be blessed. The blessing will multiply. And then those who are contrary, they actually will be cursed by God. He will resist them, because to touch you is to touch them. If the apple of God's eye is touched, if God's tender one, it's like having daughters, especially. When a daughter is touched, a father's heart, the defensive posture comes up. Well, when someone touches you as God's precious one, one that God intends to bless and keep and favors, then they will receive a curse eventually. It's not like they're struck dead immediately, as hard as you might pray. But anyway, you never prayed that way, have you? But eventually, God will deal with your adversaries. Do you see how wonderful this is? Some of you are being resisted right now. Some of you have terrible bosses, perchance, or you're dealing in the school. You got kids talking bad about you, or a difficult teacher, or difficult students, and their parents, or whatever. But God's able to fight your battles, and God will bless you eventually. You're going to reap if you don't faint. Everybody that continues along God's narrow path are going to be experiencing the overflow of abundance. His wagon tracks are dripping, King James says, with the fat. You know, we're kind of fat averse as far as like eating, but, you know, isn't it great to have a wonderful steak and just have a little bit of fat in it too? I mean, that just makes it even better to me. And bacon, man, I love it. 75% meat, pork, and in fat, wonderful. The fat helps to me, you know, but this is what God has to offer. Not just the bare, dry, like beef jerky, but the bacon, dripping, overflow. Stick with the Lord. You might say, well, I'm glad you're experiencing that, but I'm not. Stick it out with God. Persevere. Those that endure to the end shall be saved. Seven times in Revelation, Jesus said, to the one who overcomes. It wasn't like he was stuck in some ritual and he just says that over and over because he doesn't have anything else to say. What he's saying is, you got to have something to overcome. Overcomers have something to overcome, and those that have a testimony have had a test that they have got through. Keep on in the Lord. Don't give up the prayer for blessing, the purpose for blessing. Now, let's finish off of this. To participate in God's blessing plan, I must, three things. Number one, believe. Faith is essential. You believed for salvation. You continue as a believer to believe in the author of your salvation. Believing unto the end, to the fullness, to the utmost of your salvation when you enter into the presence of the Lord. Believe. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. But he that believes that he is, that is, he's near, he's not far off, he's there for your benefit, you're of great interest to him. You have a great interest, no doubt, something that when you hear about this topic or maybe this hobby, you know, to some people be like, ah, big deal, what a waste of time. But to you, it's like, oh, man, that caught my attention. I'm really into vintage cars or whatever. And, well, that's like, you know, us, we're of great interest to God. Your voice, your name, everything about you is special to him. And you believe that God is, Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he rewards those that, to believe, you believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. Rewards, benefits, benefactor, the blessing of the Lord. Galatians 3:9 says it like this. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Another version says that those who are of faith are blessed along with believing Abraham. As Abraham believed and he experienced God's goodness, and now he's with God in paradise. We also who are believing in like manner will experience the blessings of God. Believe that he is. Believe that he's near. And that he avidly wants to reward you. It's not like what we experience in the world, okay? In the world, it's a scarcity mentality. In the world, it's like, if you win, I lose. What can I do to get ahead? Very competitive. There's limited resources, there's finiteness, and there's selfishness. That's not the way it is in God's system. With God's system, there's plenty to go around. With God's system, it's abundance. The problem is not with him, it's our scarcity mentality. We've not yet believed that God is good, that God can deliver me from this addiction, that God can financially reward me and pay off these debts. We've not yet believed in the full goodness of God. The resources are available. And so activate that faith. Release that belief. Shake off the spider webs of doubt that have allowed all of that confusion to come in. Shake that off. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that you shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's not merely about getting to the other side and escaping from this horrific zone that we know of as this life, this world that's under the valley of the shadow of death. It's not merely that. Believe in the goodness of God today, and you shall see the glory of God. Did not our Lord say to Martha, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And it wasn't long thereafter that her brother Lazarus comes out in his grave clothes, untie him, loose him, and the glory of God was seen. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for your marriage. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for your children. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. God's blessings will flow inevitably. It's a guarantee. Secondly, in verse two here, give. The Apostle Paul quoted Jesus, one of the very few times that we get a direct quotation of Jesus out of the Gospels. It was obviously an early saying of the church that they understood this was said of our Lord. In Acts 20:35, it says, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed. Somebody say blessed. More blessed to give than to receive. If you really want to participate in God's blessing plan, the resources are there. It is, part of it is giving. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Well, I'll start to give of my time just as soon as I get past my current trial. I'll start to have compassion and empathize and minister in the family of God. Just as soon as I get free of this season of oppression. Well, that's not the way of God. The way of God is you give in advance, just like Jesus gave the communion observation in advance of the folly that was happening and would happen. You give in advance. You open yourself up. There are those who are the weak. There are those that need what you have to offer. Don't hold back. What is held back will soon spoil. James chapter 5 talks about the gold and the silver, which become a testimony against the hoarders in the last days. But give and it shall be given. Open up your heart. Communicate what you have. You have time. You have health. You have money. What the Lord has allowed to come into your hands. You're a steward. Remember, this is just powerful. He says it. In all things I've shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak and remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he himself said it's more blessed to give than to receive. The most mature people understand that the one that is giving is the more blessed one. The carnal way is the recipient goes, thank you, and feels a little ashamed. I never like to receive. All along missing the higher point. That one that's receiving actually gets the bad end of the stick. It's the one that's giving that is the blessed one. The one that's giving can give and then say, thank you so much for taking that. You've made my day. Blessings are coming my way. You see, that's a more mature way of looking at it, but boy, we sure aren't mature, are we? We look at things different. The way God sees things and the way we see things, high as the heavens are from the earth, the difference. Giving unto people. Bring your offering to the Lord. Don't neglect the tithe and the offering. God's promise is there. He told the people who had a scarcity mentality. He told the people, you know what, you're so interested in your own homes, Malachi, paneling your homes. You know, not that we're into paneling. That's a throwback to the 70s, right? And wallpaper. Oh, anyway. But, you know, you've got your homes all decorated. You've taken your margin, and you've made sure to make yourselves comfortable, but you've left the house of God undone. Haggai, Malachi, the later prophets speak in these ways. So the prophet blasts the people, Malachi. The Lord says, try me in this. Test me. The only time I know of in the Old Testament where God says, put me on trial here. Bring the tithe. Now, for them, the tithe was the 10% of the income, the produce, and there was different ways of measuring it agriculturally. I'm not going to get into all that complexity. But bring in that which I have said. Bring it into the storehouse. And try me in this. See if I will not open up windows of heaven to you. Pour out blessings upon you that you can't contain. And I'll rebuke the one which is nipping at your heels. I'll rebuke the thing that's impoverishing you. If you will give by faith, bottom line, I don't want to make it a legalistic, systematic thing per se. If you will give by faith unto the Lord, to the work of the Lord, into the ministry, into the world missions, into charitable institutions, into your brother across the aisle, if you will give by faith, then you participate in God's blessing plan. He's not going to hold back from you. If you hold back, you know, if you hoard, then it becomes a testimony against you. It rots where it is. Finally, number three, ask. So we believe, we give, and we ask. Powerful prayer here. May our sons in their youth be like plants full grown. You know, God, I ask. I'm in a generation. I'm in the United States of America, a child worship society where it's seen as cute and thought of as neat, where 40 and 50-year-olds still act like children, where men aren't men. It's an effeminate generation. Look what he says here. May our sons in their youth, even in their younger years, they're like plants full grown. They're not tossed here and there. They've rooted down deeply. They're bearing fruit. May our sons, even when they're young, be so mature and transform, a far cry from what we see in our culture. Look at this. Our daughters, like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace. Lord, may our young girls, may our daughters be so secure in you, so mature that when the latest boy comes along and flatters them, the boy which has been indulging in pornography for much of his early life, when he comes along to objectify and take her, Lord, may it not be. May our daughters be so secure, like pillars cut for the structure of a palace. You're not getting in here. I will have none of you. To have girls like that, to have girls that don't see their security in the way boys see them, in the way a man, and I'm talking about girls, but it could be, you could be 20, 30, 40 and still not be past this, where you don't have your security derived from some romantic relationship because you've seen all these romances that Hollywood offers and you can only be completed by another person. And if you don't have another person, then you're not complete. Well, how about this? May our sons be full grown early on to where it's an added benefit when the time is right. Where our daughters, they are structurally sound. They are not vulnerable to some smooth-talking man that comes along and is just looking to use them. our daughters like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace. Boy, to have young people like that. To have boys and girls in middle school, in high school, in college, so strong that when they go off to college, they don't become prey to a humanistic professor. They're settled. They're set. Their plants full grown, their corner pillars. They're not going to be overcome. Going on here, I know this could be a whole message of itself, but I'll spare you. May our granaries be full, providing all kinds of produce. It's not wrong to have granaries. Thank goodness Joseph stored up. I'd hate for you to think that by saying giving and that you can't have reserves. Go to the ant you sluggard. There's definitely a balance. May our granaries be full, providing all kinds of produce, dividends, productivity, investing properly. May our sheep bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our fields. This was Abraham's. This was Job's. This, the people of God. When God gives a person industry and resources, and that person's faithful to God, there are going to be dividends. There are going to be returns on investment. Never to worship the resources, but to look to the Lord and say, thank you. How can I now distribute this that I might be a blessing? May our cattle be heavy with young. Now look at this. Suffering no mishap or failure in bearing. I have things that aren't breaking down nonstop. Sure, there's the constant entropy that is this existence. Things are wearing away. But because I've done the right things and invested properly and I'm in God's blessing program, I'm able to maintenance. I'm able to get out in front of things. I'm able to do the oil changes. You give me a sound mind so that I can think ahead so I'm not always a victim of a present mishap or failure. May our cattle be heavy with young, suffering no mishap or failure in bearing. May there be no cry of distress in our streets. My household is not to be a place of panic-driven anxiety. The church is not to be a place where it's constant drama and anxiety and being weighed down. And, what are we going to do? See, we ask God for these things. Look how it finishes here. Blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. I can ask the Lord for all these things. I know many of you prayed that very prayer in Psalm 144. It was given many years ago for our church. We believe, we give, we ask, and we expect to see the blessing of the Lord in 2014. Are you with me on that? Why don't we stand together? We'll close out here. Pray a prayer of blessing. If we could close our eyes for a moment. Before I pray for the family here, there's some that might not yet be a son or daughter of God. To know about God does not bring you into his family. You have to go through Jesus Christ. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Just between you and I, if you've not yet prayed to Jesus, Lord, receive me into your family. Forgive me of my sins. If you've not yet believed on the work of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection, just between you and I, could you raise your hand so I could pray for you today? I will remember you in prayer after the service. So I could know who to remember. Just raise your hand. It's between you and I. I want to pray a pastoral prayer, a blessing. I recognize that God has given me a position. He can give it to anybody. I'm with you, but I also have this authority to pray, and I want to do that today. And so if you'd like a prayer, a blessing upon you today, why don't you come on down and stand across the front. First Sunday that we gather this year. You may have questions about the blessing. What does a blessing mean? Well, Lord willing, next week we're going to make some distinctions. We'll clarify, qualify, in some respects, what the blessing of the Lord is. It's different forms. Some sweet, some sour, but all good in the long run. You just want prayer, blessing, praying for you and those who you represent. I know you have children here, and of course, course, they're included through you. Father God, I humbly pray for and with this wonderful family, these precious souls, these saints that are part of your church, universal, many part of this local fellowship. And I just pray a blessing upon them. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I pray for protection, provision, for surpassing peace upon every soul here. I ask, Lord God, that you'd help us to participate in your abundance. Help us to believe, help us to give, help us to ask, knowing that we shall see your goodness in the land of the living, and we have eternal life to boot. How great is your goodness. Thank you, Lord God, for this time. Pray for protection on the ride home. Bring us back this Wednesday for the James study, and we just give you all the glory. Amen. God's